blessing to be with you all, and I too want to extend a happy Father's Day to all the fathers here this morning. Dale, I appreciated your devotional. Tied in well to what I'd like to share this morning. How many of you have found yourself in conversations at times where the conversation may have went to the younger generation, and maybe the person you were talking to expressed their appreciation or maybe lack of appreciation for what they see in the next generation or the younger generation? I don't know if your mind goes to any conversations that you've been part of. In my reflecting over some of those conversations, many times, not every time, but many times, the conversation the person I was talking to was concerned or even frustrated by some things they were seeing in the next generation, in the younger ones. And maybe it sometimes went like, you know, young people these days, they would go on, maybe complain about the lack of work ethic or something along those lines. Recently, I was talking to an older man that just began to, I would say, vent with the relationship of one of his sons. I take it his son was an adult, a grown man, but he talked about him in a very negative way. And as the conversation went on, I had some questions. The way he talked about his son, the questions that I had was like, I wonder if I was in a conversation with his son, what the son would be saying about his dad, just the way he was talking about, the way the father was talking about the son. It was not a healthy relationship, and he was very disappointed with some things that his son had done, and it left me with a bit of a burden. For an introduction for the message this morning, I want us to think about a relay race. Now, I've never really done a relay race where some of those relay races, they have several people on one team competing against another team consisting of several people. And they would have a baton that this one runner on the team would be running around the track, you know, sprinting at the basically top speed. And after some time, like I said, I've never been part of it, so I don't know exactly what it looked like. I did watch a little video on YouTube of this happening, but they would be carrying a baton that as they're getting tired, the next runner would come out and run right up next to them, and their job was to pass the baton on to the next runner. Now, this is a run or a race where seconds matter. Even partial seconds really matter because it's a very competitive race. And sometimes when they were running very well, and maybe even in the lead, sometimes in the transition of the baton, it would get dropped. And the chance of winning that race was gone just like that. So passing on that baton had to be done very carefully. It actually took some skill and how to do it well. There are several ways they could go about passing that baton on. And it took practice to actually master, you know, passing on the baton. And there was still the risk, you know, would they be able to pass it successfully with the speed that was involved? For a message title this morning, I want us to think about passing on the baton. That's a little picture of what it may have looked like, just a small cylinder of some type that they would pass on. In the conversations that I've had with some people, I want us to think about it as passing on the baton. So with it being Father's Day this morning, going to be speaking mainly to the fathers, and yet I believe there's application for everyone here this morning. So thinking about passing on the baton, Dale talked about father and son relationship, or father and children relationships. I think we would all recognize as fathers, we do have a big responsibility. Sometimes being a father might feel overwhelming to you. I want us to think about passing on the baton. So I want us to be intentional fathers so that we can pass on our baton well. Now, this word baton needs some clarification, I believe, is the way I want to use it this morning. I'm not talking about a physical piece that we're holding in our hands that one day we're passing on, but I'm talking about, who say, as our values, or passing on our faith, passing on what is important to us. Now, I believe what is happening sometimes in the world and some of the conversations I've been part of, some of the older generation can be critical of the younger generation and they lament at what they see as being lost. And I believe the baton that we are trying to pass on is not something that's just, you know, one day we pass it on, then it's done and now it's in our children's hands. But it's a set of values or faith that is being passed on throughout our life. And I believe this starts when our children are young, and it continues maybe to the point where they leave our home. And yet, I'm not at that stage where any children leave our home. So, I do these messages I share with some trepidation, maybe a little bit, like I'm in the heat of it. Because I believe even as the children leave our home, we can still influence them or still continue, in a sense, to pass that baton on. Frank Reed, and I know I've shared this before, but he has said the problem with today's world, or the world today, is men. And the answer to the world's problems is godly men. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I'm not trying to say that it's always on the men. I mean, there's parents, we have a husband and wife, we both play very vital roles in raising our children. But men do. God has called men to be leaders in the home, and we do carry a large responsibility. And I believe if we're not being intentional in our God-given duties, we're going to drop the baton, if you will. And I believe that is lost many times in society. So, again, when people lament about the younger generation, I see it as a trend that is the baton that's maybe being dropped over many years. It's not just like we all of a sudden came to the place in society where we are today, like in one generation. There's been something that's being lost. Maybe for an example, church attendance. Some people will lament how there's no younger generation in their church, and the church is closing its doors. That has happened with many churches, not just in this area, but in many areas throughout the U.S. Churches have been closing because there's no younger generation to keep it going. And I believe many times, we can't just point at the younger generation that have dropped it. I believe it was something that has been lost over time. And we can say what is important to us as fathers. We can tell our children what they need to carry on when we pass that baton on. But yet, if they don't see it as something that's important in our personal lives, you know, the phrase is said, there is more caught than taught. Children can see what really matters to us. So this morning, as I go through the message, I'd like to use the word father as an acronym and build off of that. And I'd like to look at six actions that we need to be intentional in passing on the baton to our children, or passing the baton on to the next generation. And again, I think this applies to more than just fathers. I think there's something here us all to apply to our lives as we think about passing on the baton, or passing on what is really important to us. So the first one is faithful living. I'm going to spend maybe a little more time on this one than some of the others. You can turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Last week, Jim Weaver shared an excellent message on faith, living a faithful life. And something that he said as a definition of faith, he defined it as something as seeing something that cannot be seen that translates to a lifestyle. So he talked about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. Even though they could not see the promises that God gave them, they didn't always see them fulfilled, they obeyed what God called them to do. So they saw it in faith that translated to a lifestyle. And here in Genesis chapter 22, the context here is Abraham and Sarah. We know how they were promised a son, and we know that son that they were promised took years to come. And there was probably conversations that Abraham and Sarah had where they wondered, maybe even if God had forgotten his promise to them. And we know that they maybe got ahead of God's plan at one point with Abraham and Hagar having a son. But God kept his promise and gave Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age. Abraham being 100 years old, Sarah 90 years old. You know, it wasn't even humanly possible back then. And God kept his promise. God was faithful. But sometimes, as we think about faithful living, and as fathers, passing on the baton, if we want to pass on the baton of faith, it needs to start with us and living a faithful life, believing in God's promises, as Abraham did. And I'll start reading here in verse 1, Genesis 22. I'll read verses 1 through 3 at this time. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him.
So I'm going to stop here briefly. I'll continue reading on very soon. But the King James uses the word tempt. I believe a more accurate word for that is God did test Abraham. There's another place in Scripture where it says that God doesn't tempt anyone to do evil, but God does test people at times. And he can bring tests to our lives to see if we will be obedient to his commandments. And this chapter covers a lot that's happening without really going into detail what Abraham may have wrestled through. And I like to use some of our imagination as we think about this. So here we have the promised son that God gave to Abraham and Sarah. And now God is asking Abraham to do something that would have been extremely painful to do or extremely excruciating. Like, what? Like, God, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this was the promise that you gave me, and now you're saying to go offer him as a sacrifice? I don't know what that night looked like for Abraham and Sarah, but I can imagine it was some tossing and turning. Probably a lot of tears shed. A lot of wrestling. Maybe not, but I can only imagine it was. But it says Abraham rose up early in the morning. Was that because he couldn't sleep anyway, that he just left early, got his men together, and they started going? I'm not sure. Then verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So they traveled for 3 days. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Again, we don't know exactly what this looked like for them. The Bible records the events, what took place, but doesn't go into a whole lot of detail. I imagine this was a very emotional time as Isaac asked this question. Like, okay, we're going here, we're going to worship, we have the wood, the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And I don't know what this looked like. I don't know if Abraham was embracing his son Isaac and they were weeping together as he shared this. I'm not sure. But I can imagine it was a very difficult time. Now, Hebrews 11 gives us a little clue. It says something along the lines of Abraham believed that God would be able to raise Isaac from the dead. So this is a story that we know the whole picture, so we can kind of like rest assured. But in the moment, Abraham didn't know the exact outcome. At least I don't think he did. But he willingly obeyed. I don't know exactly how old Isaac was at this time. Bible or some research said he could have been, you know, teenage years up into young adult, 20, maybe even up to 30 years old. I don't know exactly, but he was likely not this little boy. Been very, very difficult. Abraham was, I'm sure, was very close to Isaac, his son. Verse 8, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Again, I don't know exactly what this looked like. Did Isaac just willingly allow Abraham to put him on the altar? Again, I imagine a very emotional time. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, Here am I. And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." I can only imagine it was this huge, tremendous relief that flooded over Abraham and Isaac as that voice called out from heaven, basically saying, "Stop." I don't know exactly what all was going through Abraham's mind, but God allowed Abraham to go to the point of raising his knife to slay his son until there was a voice from heaven and called him to stop. And then the ram being caught in the thicket. Again, I imagine a very, very emotional time. And I'm going to read verses 15 through 19 yet. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. I imagine that trip home was much, much lighter than the way to that mountain. And the blessing, I want to just pull a few things from this text as we think about faithful living. I don't think God will call any of us as fathers to the very thing that he called Abraham to do, to slay his son. But it could very well be that God will prompt us to do something or call us to do something as fathers that doesn't always make sense. Or maybe sometimes as fathers, God will allow us to go through things that we can't see the end. Abraham couldn't see the end, but he knew God called him to do it, and he packed up his bags and he went. And sometimes faithful living is going to require us to do some things that we don't understand, and we don't know what the end outcome will be. But the beautiful thing is, there will always be a blessing if we follow God's call. God blessed Abraham's obedience tremendously, and God always rewards obedience. whether it's a reward in this life or whether it's in the life to come. We will be blessed for obedience. So thinking about faithful living and maybe a more practical application on that. So I do not have many slides. I'm actually only going to put two slides up here this morning. But thinking about being a faithful father to all the fathers here this morning, if we're going to pass on the baton well, pass on the baton of faith, or pass on our values, if we are not obedient to God's call in our life, we're going to be dropping the baton. We must faithfully follow God's call in our life. And it is a blessing, as I observe fathers, I believe I'm speaking to many fathers who desire to obediently follow God's call. And I want to encourage every father here this morning as I go through this message. And I wanted to encourage us to be faithful through not only the tests that God may bring, but also the temptations that the enemy brings. We live in a society where society at large is crumbling in values. And many times we're impacted or we're being influenced. Society is trying to get us to yield to the standards that they withhold. The things that we see can be temptations. So I want to encourage us to be faithful in God's calling and faithful through the test and the temptations that we may face. Also, I want to encourage every father here to be faithful in your married relationships, faithful to your spouse. And Dale already mentioned it in his devotional, a great value that we can, or a great blessing we can pass on to our children is to be by being faithful to our marriage vows that we made, keeping ourselves only for our spouse. And if you have a father here that has been faithful in God's call on his life, if you have a father that has lived a faithful life, faithful to his marriage vows, that is a tremendous blessing. And I believe in that way you've been given a baton that is worth carrying. I want to encourage us to be faithful in leading our families. And I realize that many times I fall short of some of these things where what God has called me to do. It's hard to always faithfully lead in family worship, family devotions. And sometimes we go through very busy times in our life, but many times we can make time for what is really important to us. And sometimes in my own life, we come to the end of the day and it's a busy day. And sometimes our devotional time as a family can suffer because of the many other things going on. But I want to encourage us not to just let our family time, of worship time, family devotion time, fall by the wayside because of our busyness. So going back again to what society is lamenting about the younger generation. So I believe as the years went by, church attendance is continuing to drop. While there's a lot of people that lament that, when we point our fingers at the younger generation, we could say there's three fingers pointing right back at us. And many times, if we don't value going to church, if we don't value family worship time, it's saying something to our children. Do I value? Do I faithfully lead my family? I want to encourage every one of us, especially as fathers here this morning, to be a faithful leader. And sometimes being a faithful leader will mean we stand alone. So there are some things where we might, or environment we might get ourselves in, where as a faithful leader, others around us may look at us and wonder why we're not doing the things that they are doing, going the places that they are going. Sometimes we will stand alone. We need to be willing to stand alone at times. Proverbs 27 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." Thinking about living faithfully, leading intentionally, or walking in integrity, if we do that and continue to do that, our children will be blessed. So I want us to be intentional fathers and to live a faithful life, to lead our families well. The second one I want to look at, and I'm not going to spend as much time on some of these. Second one is actively involved. Now, I'm not talking about so much physical activity, so much as being there for our children, as, you know, in other ways, spiritually, emotionally, and spiritually. Something that is rather sobering, a little bit of just a few statistics here, but in the U.S., a quick Google search will tell you that there's about 18.5 million children that have no father figure in their life. 18.5 million children. This said no biological father, no stepfather, no active father in their life. About one out of every four children in the U.S. have no father presence in their life. What's maybe even more sobering about that, the rate has tripled since 1960. I think that's where it's at now. So if you think about, again, when I'm in these conversations, or when you're in these conversations where people are burdened by the younger generation, or maybe frustrated by what they're seeing in the younger generation, this is a trend that didn't just start, or this is a trend that's been happening. This didn't just happen overnight. So as society is at large leaving God's ways behind, we're seeing the results get worse. So I believe we do have reason to be concerned about the younger generation. And I believe that should encourage us as fathers to be intentional. It does matter how we lead in our families. So I believe in many ways in society the baton is being dropped. And us as fathers have an important role to play. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I realize this takes both husband and wife, both mother and father working together. But this morning is, or today is Father's Day, so again, I'm speaking mainly to fathers. So as we think about being actively involved in raising our children and leading our families, what does that look like? I believe we need to be actively involved in providing the physical needs of our children. So I realize many of you men are away most of the day, away earning the finances to provide for the physical needs of your family. That is an important role. We must be doing things like that. But it even goes much deeper than just the physical needs. And sometimes I believe the physical needs can be easier to provide for than some of the other needs, like emotional needs or spiritual needs. But we need to be actively involved, caring about the hearts of our children, their emotional needs, what they're facing in life. And we need to be engaging with our children. We need to have conversations about why we do the things that we do. And I believe as you lead out in your family devotion time, the stages that our family is at, from oldest being a teenager to the youngest, you know, not even able to understand what's happening necessarily, sometimes we need to be creative and talking about what we are reading and making it practical to apply to our life. We need to reach tap into the needs and the things that our children are going through. And this takes time. It takes sacrifice. There will be things that you may have to let go for another day to provide well for your children, to provide for their emotional and spiritual needs. And as our children get older, I think it's very important that us as fathers, we talk about our children one-on-one at times and address some things that, or just open it up for conversation and talk about some of the things, that the changes that they take place, that they will experience as they get older. Life brings change, and we need to engage with our children. Talk about some of even the harder things as well, engaging them and opening the doors of conversation with them. Your children are going to talk to someone about some of the hard things they experience in life. And if you open that door and allow them to talk to you, it can be create a very healthy relationship. And that is my desire for each of our children. Are you a safe place or a welcoming place for your children to come and talk to? The third one I'd like to look at, we'll keep moving here pretty quickly, is tender hands. So building that acronym, the letters in the red there. Tender hands. If we're going to be intentional fathers and pass the baton well, we must have tender hands. The song that came to my mind is the song Daddy's Hands. It's a very touching song. And I'll just read some of the lyrics. It's a song that you may be familiar with. I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer and reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the callus and lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. There are things that I'd forgotten that I loved about the man, but I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again, and I'd never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. It's a very touching song, and thinking about our hands, there's a time to use them very tenderly and to hold our children and to show love and to show care. And there's a time, if we love our children, where we're going to use a rod and we're going to correct. So a time when they're, in a sense, hard as steel. And yet there should always be love in Daddy's hands. And that song really touched me as I was preparing for this message. And I realize that as a father, I haven't always done this well. And I realize every father's imperfect. But I hope my children will always know that there was love in Daddy's hands, even though there were times I failed and that didn't always use my hands as I should have. It's a sobering reality for me to think that I am writing part of my children's story. So every one of us here, if you would be given a time to share your story publicly here, every one of our stories would be unique. Because our stories are shaped around our upbringing, both our mother and father, our surroundings, our experiences in life. Every one of our stories are unique. And to think about the way I care for my children, the way I'm doing it well, or maybe the way I'm failing at it, is shaping my children's life. And I'm, in a sense, writing part of their story. It's very sobering to think about. And I want us as fathers to consider that as we lead our children, as we lead our homes, as we shepherd our children's hearts. We are, in a sense, writing part of this, their story. Psalm 103:13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So we need, if we're going to lead well, if we're going to pass on the baton well, we need to be connected to our Heavenly Father. So as God shows compassion on me, ESV uses the word compassion. As God has compassion on me, and as I have compassion on my children, so God has compassion on me as well. It's a beautiful verse to think about. We need to be connected to our Father, our Heavenly Father, in order to be an earthly father or a good earthly father to our children. So thinking about tender hands, hands that show love, but also hands that will use the rod at times. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Or ESV would say, he that loves his son is diligent to discipline. Now disciplining our children is not fun. And sometimes I haven't done it as often as I should have because it's hard to do. It's inconvenient at times. But if I truly love my children, I am going to be diligent to discipline when discipline is needed. And moving on here quickly, humble hearts. If we are going to be intentional fathers and pass the baton well, we must have humble hearts. Another sobering reality, I believe I've felt it with every child that was born to my wife and I, holding that newborn child in my hands and feeling that responsibility that this perfect little child, this heart that is beating so perfectly formed, has an eternal soul that God has entrusted me with. I am responsible, at least I have a large responsibility in shepherding or caring for this child. And I need a humble or a teachable heart to love this child, to care for this child. I need to be dependent on my Heavenly Father. A humble heart recognizes their need for God and God's help. 1 Peter tells us, or in 1 Peter chapter 5, the context is to leaders or elders of the church, but he says to be clothed with humility. And every one of us are fathers, are leaders. We might not all be called to be leaders in a church, but we're all leaders in some ways, and we're called to be clothed with humility. So we must have humble hearts. A father that has a humble heart recognizes his dependency on his Heavenly Father. We need to be praying fathers, to be interceding for our children. We should be praying for our children's salvation, praying for our children's future spouses if the Lord tarries and if God has a spouse for them. We can be praying for these things even as they are very young in age. A humble father is also a father that is able to apologize when apologies are needed. And there are times, again, we're not perfect, where we as fathers need to go back to our children and apologize for times where we fail. Moving on quickly, encouraging words. If we are going to be intentional fathers and pass on the baton well, we must encourage our children. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." I have heard sad stories of people sharing their stories. So thinking about us as fathers writing our children's stories or writing parts of their stories, I've heard this from multiple people as they shared their story. I'm not speaking of anyone here that came to my mind, but of words from their father where they were told they are a failure and they're not even worth their own salt. Basically being condemned by their father. And those words are cutting, they're devastating, they're words of death. But rather, we need to be encouraging our children to recognize the words that we say are shaping our children, are writing part of their story. Now, it's not like there are times where we scold. I mean, that's part of discipline. That's part of correcting. Those things do need to happen. But I believe every one of our children, there are times where we can encourage, times where we can speak words of life into them when they do something well. We can build them up, give them a pat on the back, and say, "Well done," and encourage them in what they are doing. Our children, even though we need to correct, even though we scold and discipline at times, they should know that we love them. They should know that they have value and belonging in our family. And moving on, reflecting God's character for the last one, the R for reflecting. A beautiful example of this is the parable of the prodigal son and his father. How the father was out looking and seeing his son coming in from a long ways off and welcomed him with open arms. And that's how our Heavenly Father is, ready to receive us when we come to him, and we should be doing the same. Another sobering thing to think about is that we are, as fathers, as earthly fathers, we are shaping how our children view the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. We have a part in how they see God. And if we are a father that just rules very strictly, they're going to tend to see God that way. At least that's what I hear. I've heard this many times. If we are, I believe the more accurately we are reflecting God's character, the more healthy it is to our children, and the more that's an accurate representation of shaping our children's view of God. It is interesting as I observe some families and their children leaving home and getting married. Sometimes I'm so blessed by choices that I see children making. And also, sometimes as I observe children leaving their homes and making drastic changes from the parents. So I want to say this very carefully. Every child at some point is left to make, or as they become older, they make their own decisions. And you can have a child grow up in the most ideal home, most godly home, and they're still responsible for the choices that they make. It doesn't always reflect in how they were raised. But when I observe an entire family of multiple children making drastic changes from how they were raised, it leaves me with questions. And I say this very carefully because I haven't had any children leave home yet. But sometimes as I observe the parents, and some of these I know a little bit what took place, and it saddens me how much the baton can be dropped in one generation. So again, it doesn't mean by us, so it takes two. So thinking again about this relay race where the baton is being passed, it takes the one leaving the behind, or to give the baton, it takes it doing it well, but also the person grabbing it, taking it, must do it well. So it takes both. But what I want to leave us with as fathers to do our part in passing on the baton well and doing what we can to give them a good foundation or a good platform to continue running that race, if you will. So in closing, are you being intentional to pass on the baton? Again, maybe to clarify, the baton that I'm talking about is the value, what you value as important. And I hope as every Christian father here this morning, what you really value is living a faithful life for God. Are you being intentional, another way you could say it, to pass on your faith? And I want to encourage each one of us. I know this is a great responsibility, but let's do it well. Society at large is mourning what they're seeing being dropped. If they care anything about the morals today, they're seeing the changes that have taken place, and we need to think seriously about this. What baton are we passing on? We are passing something on. So we can say what's important to us, but our children will know what is really important to us. And this verse in closing, train up a child on the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now we could spend some time thinking, what is this mean exactly? Does this mean if we train right, train well, that they will value exactly what we valued and they'll continue running with that baton and pass it on to the next generation? Well, we know, again, people are responsible for their own choices, but I believe what we teach, what we leave with them, will stick with them whether or not they carry it on or not. They won't forget the truth that we have given to them. So again, I want us to think about the baton that we are passing on and to do it well so that this next generation can too pass on the baton that they have been given. I recognize we need God's help and we need to continue to go to God for strength and for grace to be intentional in passing on the baton. So God bless you as you seek to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. I thank you so much for every father here this morning. Thank you for the blessing to be part of a church body where we have godly fathers. And I pray that you would bless each father here this morning. Bless them for their faithfulness. And I pray too that as we think about our fathers that you place in our lives. And I pray that we would be truly grateful for godly fathers. And I pray that we would take the time today to thank them, if they're still living, to thank them for passing on the baton to us. And I pray that each one of us would be faithful in carrying the baton, that we would do it well. We need your help, Lord. We look to you, and thank you for being a faithful Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.